Good morning. It's good to see everybody here. And what a blessed day it is. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 14 through 18. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand, if you would, please, as I read from God's Word. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the reading of your word. And Lord, today, as we look into this call, this commission that you gave us, Father, quicken our hearts today. Lord, there is nothing more important than putting you first and serving you. And I ask God today that our hearts would be pure before you, that our minds would be steadfast, Father, before you. And Lord, let us take up our armor. Let us put our armor on daily as we go to battle, because Lord, we already know that you've won the battle. And now, Father, prepare us as we enter our mission field after church today, that we will be the kind of people that will tell others about Jesus and His love. Now, Lord, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now, I've really, ever since I heard that message last Friday night about our mission has never changed, it's really stuck on me this last week that we need to be the kind of people, the Christian people, that we say we are. Jesus sat down with, or he appeared to the 11, and I don't know if you've ever really, I finally took notice of this, that Jesus appeared to the 11, and I've had some people say, but there were 12 disciples, but you remember one, the one that betrayed Jesus went and hung himself, so there's only 11 disciples. Now, 11 disciples are gathered, and Jesus appears to them, and Jesus is telling them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to win souls for Jesus Christ. And I told you last Sunday that's our mission. People ask me today, what is my purpose in life? What is my calling? Well, I can tell each and every person what their calling is. It's the exact same thing. Every Christian person should be telling somebody about Jesus. And then I hear people go, well, you know what? I'm a little shy, or I get bashful, or I don't know what to say. Well, you know what? Those are things in your life that you need to put them at the foot of the cross, and you need to ask God to give you the power to overcome those things. Really, those kind of things, those are tools of the enemy, and the devil is going to put them before you, and the devil is going to make you dwell on these type of things to try and keep you from winning souls to Christ. Now, if you fast forward all these thousands of years to today, it started with 11 disciples that Jesus told them to go preach the gospel, and those 11 disciples went out into the world, and for every one person that they witnessed to, There were ones that were saved, that had received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and those people went out and told somebody about Jesus. And over all of these years, it started with 11, and I can't even tell you how many Christian people we have in this world today. And we can't forget the Christian people that have passed and gone on to heaven. I've recounted in my life. Have I been faithful like God wants me to be in my witnessing? Have I met the mark that Christ wants me to go after? And you know what my answer is? No. I have, through my life, I've made other things in ministry a priority. I've made sure, you know, that I go to visit people. I make sure I read my Bible. I make sure that I pray. And I make sure that I try to live, you know, the best that I know to live for the Lord and do His will. But how much do I witness? How much time do I spend day after day praying to the Father and asking Him to bring at least one person in that day into my path so that I could be a witness to them? It's not enough. We are in a time that if you look around, we don't know the day or the hour, but Jesus is coming. And Jesus is coming very soon. And we know that when Christ comes, He's going to find us in the state that we're in. And now let's take a look at our life right now. What state is our life in? Are we living for the situations in our life, or are we living for the Lord Jesus? What is Christ going to find us saying or doing when He does return? That's why I hope and pray today that we'll take a long, hard look at where we're at, that we will get ourselves unstuck, that we will start to move forward again as God's church, witnessing to the lost and bringing more and more people to Jesus. You know, sadly, I was thinking about this the other day. I've heard some people say the reason that they won't go to church is because the church, well, I'm about to get into my sermon too far, so let me just halt right there. But I've had people tell me reasons why they won't go to church, and some of those reasons have happened because of the church, but I'll get into that. But we have a mission. Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And Jesus, at that time, He was talking to Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, the first two men that were called to be disciples. Jesus has been in our hearts and in our lives, and that needs to be our focus today as His church. Jesus needs to be our focus. He gave us the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, the last part of that verse I just read, Jesus said, "I am with you always." I'm with you always. What does that mean? That means that Jesus is living inside of us. He's in our heart. He's in our life, and He's working. What Jesus is looking for is He's looking for us to submit, give everything of our lives to Him. If you read in the book of James, the Bible says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Basically, every single day, all day long, we should be submitting to the Father, and we should be allowing Jesus to work within our life. And if He is with us always, then I want to point out a couple things. He's given us power. He has given us His power, and His power is like no other. Jesus' power is supernatural because it can transform hearts, it can change lives, and it can make a difference in how you see others, how you treat others, and how you, in your own life, how you behave. If we submit to God and make Him the king of our heart and put Him on the very throne of our life, and we let the Lord lead us, and if we abide by His commandments, then we're going to live really a very blessed life. We're going to see a life that is blessed with a fruitful harvest. The mission that we've been called to do, that's our primary duty. That is our primary duty as a church. We're not to come here and see who dresses the best, who drove the best vehicle, or who lives in the... And we don't come into the Lord's house to catch up on the weekly gossip. There shouldn't be any gossip at all. We shouldn't be coming in here comparing ourselves to one another. Our focus as a body of believers is to live for the Lord and do His will only. We as God's church have lost some of our sight. Churches, and this is a lot of truth. And I tell you what, I'm going to be stepping on a lot of toes and my toes too. So you know what? Just grin and bear it today and say, Lord, help me. You know what we ought to learn from this sermon today? Lord, help me to do better and help me to change. That's what I'm definitely saying for me too. But churches today are focused on fellowships. And I'm talking potlucks and things like that. Now, there's nothing wrong with them. But there are a lot of churches that are having more potluck fellowships and more get-togethers to sit together and talk and eat and then go home with a full belly. And then when you turn around and if you go back and look over history, how many times did those potlucks and those fellowships, how many lost souls were saved during that time? I can remember going to church as a kid, and we would have, you know, once in a blue moon, there'd be an ice cream social after church. But I can always remember every single week there were groups of people that would go out on Thursday nights, good old-fashioned door knocking. They wouldn't call nobody. They would go out early enough of an evening to allow people to have had their dinner, and folks would get into groups of two and three. And I'll tell you what was really sad, this was a church of 425, and you'd have maybe eight people show up to go visit. But God bless those eight people who did, because you know what? Those eight people had an impact on my life. I wasn't even a Christian yet. I was probably Sheridan's age about that time. I was Sheridan's age, and I was going with whatever groups, and I was actually learning. I was learning something. And I quickly found out that I had a love for going and visiting people. I had no idea, you know, fast forward. I'm sorry, Sheridan. I forgot you're 20, in your 20s, aren't you? I'm sorry. My goodness. Well, okay, what I said, well, strike that and reverse it. We'll just go, I was younger. Okay. I'm sorry, Sheridan. I didn't mean... You have to... I'm old man, so you have... Okay, so back when I was younger and going with these people, it prepared me because I had no idea when I turned 19 that I would be surrendering to the ministry 35 years ago. And it's amazing to me what God's done in my life. God has put me in the path of a lot of people. But you know what I've seen over the years? church is having fellowships, but no more weekly visitations. I would go on visitations as a young boy, and I would see people coming into our church, and then I would see Pastor Frank Trotter baptizing them, and I would see these people joining the church. And I was watching our church grow. And what are we seeing today? We're seeing our churches being closed up. Why? Because we're not getting out there and door knocking. Some people say, oh, well, I wouldn't want to go to their house and bother them. They might be busy. That's an excuse. As Christian people, we need to lay aside all of our excuses. I need to lay aside any excuse I could come up with not to go witness. I mean, it's good to have fellowship with men or the ladies get together in the church. That's all good. But sometimes in those fellowships, I think we ought to be discussing ways for God's church body to grow and what we can do together as a church body to take and proclaim the love and the word of the Lord to the lost so that we can add to. In order for a church to continue to go on year after year, this is something I learned in seminary. Of course, I knew it, you know, before seminary, that if you want a church to grow, well, you've got to get families in, you got to get kids in there, and those kids got to be trained up in the ways of the Lord. And of course, that's the jobs of the parents. The parents ought to be training their kids up in the ways of the Lord. And when the kids get older, now some move away, but a lot of families move to these areas and they're looking for a church to grow in. There's a lot of people want to be connected for many years, and that's what we as a church body should be doing. Getting away from more of the fellowships and having more witnessing time. Churches today, now here's where I'm getting to what I was going to jump into a minute ago. Churches today are focused on having a glorious building. And this is truth. Sadly, it's a truth. I've had people tell me I will not step foot into that church because I get looked down upon. And I'd say, well, why do you get looked down upon? Well, because of the way I don't have much money. And when I go in there, everybody in that church has got on a $500 suit, gold rings, and man, they drive Cadillacs or Lincolns or whatever, this, that, and the other. And I can't even compare to that. Well, number one, we're not supposed to compare ourselves to people in the church. We're not. We're not supposed to compare ourselves to anybody else. We are supposed to have our identity with Christ, Jesus. That's how we should identify. Okay, if you're a child of the King, you're already rich. By heavenly standards, not the world's. But churches today have gotten to a point where, well, we need to remodel that church. I ran into some friends yesterday that I used to go to church with, and they're still there. And they were telling me, oh, you wouldn't recognize the sanctuary anymore. We've gutted the entire thing, and man, we're just redoing it all. And I'm thinking, what for? I was in that church last year when I was still working for the funeral home in Marion. We did a funeral. That church had been done in 1975, and it was still gorgeous in there, beautiful. But churches today want to impress people with how their building looks. Well, our building has to have comfortable seating. Our building has to have high dollar carpet, and we have to have columns and high dollar organs and piano, or we have to have high dollar musical equipment and all that. And see, the focus has gotten on what the church building needs, and it's gotten away from what the church body should be doing. And that's truth too. This is probably going to be a hard message to swallow today, but you know what? It needs to be preached. It's time that we get ourselves out. Now, we need to maintain and keep a nice building. But that's why I've always believed that a church building should be a simple, modest building that welcomes everybody from every walk of life, no matter what they... And everybody should be getting together inside the church in the admonition and the love of the Lord and fellowshipping together and having the time of their life. That's what I was used to. I've always been used to the good old country churches, and there ain't a thing wrong with them. They're simple, easy to maintain. And you know what I've seen? I've gone into some of these big fancy church buildings, and you know what happens when you have a big fancy church building? Upkeep. Structure problems. How many of you ever seen a big fancy building, after a while the weight of it, certain things start, you see corners separate and ceilings coming down, and then you got people going, well, we got to fix that. And then when they see how much it's going to cost to fix something, they're going into a panic over it. See, and this is what I'm saying. Our attention too much gets on church buildings when we need to be focusing on a church body instead. I thank the Lord that we have a very nice church building here to have service in. I thank God for that. And I'll always say this, I would still preach under a lean-to if I had to, and have a body of people that wanted to serve the Lord. Churches today are also focused on things to keep people occupied during worship service. One thing I've noticed over the years, you know what churches are doing now? A lot of these bigger churches, they put it in coffee and donut bars. You can go get your tea or your cappuccino or your coffee, get your donut. And here's what I'm seeing. This is what's wrong with it. When people should be in the house of God, focusing on God, you know what people are doing? Maybe while a message is going on or while a song is being sung or a testimony given, someone says, oh, well, my coffee cup's empty. I better go back out to the coffee bar. Man, I sure am still hungry. I didn't have breakfast this morning. I got to go get me another donut. And people, and I've seen this. I've seen this with my own eyes. I went to a church to watch my nephew get baptized, and I was appalled by the number of people up and down out of their seats, going back out into the lounge to get another cup of coffee and another donut, and come back in, and literally, during the worship service, chatting with one another during church time. And I was really set back by that. It aggravated me. Because when we come into God's house for worship time, it's His time, not our time. And we should be listening to the things that are being said, because the Holy Spirit moves through pastors so that we can all be built up, that we can edify the Lord, that we can please God with our life, that we will know how to live according to what His commandments are. So see, if we're doing other things during worship time, I see people doing this a lot. It's true. Or they'll look at the wall. I went into a church, and this is funny. This really was. Pastor came into this church, and he started after a couple weeks. He said, let's take this sign off the wall. He said, there's signs everywhere. He said, because you know what I'm noticing? He says, people during church looking at the sign all the time, because they're worried about the number of people that's on it, and they're also worried about the offer number. And he says, people keep, instead of focusing on the Lord, they keep worrying about the money, and they keep worrying about why there aren't more people. So he said, take all them things off the wall. We're not having them up there anymore. He said, I want us all to be focused on what the Lord wants to do in this church. And he said he got met with a lot of opposition, but he said after some time and praying, he said people started doing what he was preaching. And he said people were starting to worry less about what was going on in the church and focusing more on God. And he said the church started to take off and really grow. And he said people's lives were being transformed. He said people were more joyful because they were putting all of their attention and focus on the Lord. And that's the last thing I want to look at. The church focused on money. Listen to what I'm about to say and take this to heart. God satisfies our every desire and meets every need. God does it. You know, there's money and checks in those offering plates that we give as a tithe to the Lord. And we should pray over this tithe that we give to the Lord. But what we give to Him, we should give it to Him cheerfully and joyfully, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. One who says, thank you, Lord, that I have the money to tithe to you, and Lord, that you'll bless it and use it for the furthering of your kingdom. And that's all I ever preach on tithing, that you have to be a cheerful and a faithful giver. I don't jump down people's throats about giving. That's between you and the Lord. And you know what the Word says about giving. But we get focused on money. And this is a problem I had in a church where I was an interim pastor. And people come to me and go, hey, preacher, man, people's leaving our church because you know what the last pastor did, or what so-and-so's done, blah, 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 blah. They would come in. If I stopped by there and stopped in the office to go visit that day, I had two certain deacons would just use to pop in that side door. Man, you won't believe what our last pastor did. And I said, I don't care. I don't want to hear it. Well, I also want to let you know, man, we got to get people in here. Our money's going to be hurting. And I said, let me ask you a question. What are you more worried about? Are you more worried about who's going to hell, or are you worried more about how much money's coming into the offering plate? I said, what I'm seeing so far is number two. You're more worried about what's in that offering plate than you are who's being led to the Lord. And if that's what we're doing as Christian people, we've definitely lost our focus. Because Jesus said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say that money is the root, it's the love of it. And we have to be able to separate ourselves from the money and say, okay, Lord, we may be facing some stuff, but God, you provide. Jesus said that He would always provide for every need. He would never leave us. He knows every need before we ever ask it. And so if we get our hearts and our minds focused on the Lord and we trust Him with the finances, if we're tithing to God, and also I want to say something else about giving. Giving doesn't mean all just your money only. God wants you to give of yourself. God's given you talents to use. God's given me talents to use. And God wants you to give of other things in your life to be a part of ministry. Being a pastor is not the only part of ministry in the church. Every single one of us has a part in ministry to take up. Now, if you worry about money all the time, guess what's going to happen? That's what you're going to focus on. And you know what's going to happen? Well, we need to find ways to raise more money. And there again, the devil's put something else as a stumbling block before God's people. I'll share this testimony or this story, and then this is going to be the last, and then I'll close. I pastored a church. I took the job. Wasn't until about 2 weeks after I was pastor, One Sunday night, I had a treasurer. A couple people said, "Hey, Brother Jim, could we meet with you after church?" "Sure. Yeah, let's go talk." "Well, we need to go back in the back office." "Okay." So we go back in the back office, and, "Well, can you close that door? We don't want nobody to, you know." "Okay." Close the door, and I don't know. I had no idea where this was even going. "Well, we just want to let you know that we're involved in a court case with money." I said, "Well, why didn't you tell me about this? What's going on?" "Well, it happened with you know, a death in the family and a lot of money being left to the church. And this family thought that because their mother married into this, you know, this man that had this money left over and all this, that they should be entitled to the money in the church. And you know what happened to that church? That church had a big split in it because of money. So, as the new pastor, I had to show up in Franklin County Court in Benton, Illinois. This boat was going like this. I said, "Jesus, you need to take the wheel because, man, it's pretty bad." And I prayed. And I'll tell you what the Lord did. The Lord took care of that church. And I went to the family that got their feelings hurt, and I started visiting them, showing them love and kindness, and telling them that if you really felt like that's where you belonged in that church, you need to come back, and your focus doesn't need to be on the people that were involved. Your focus needs to be on the Lord. Well, so anyway, the court found in favor of the church, and everything got took care of. There's people didn't come back. That was fine. Let them, you know, their journey. But God restored some things. Some of those people came back. And the one thing I always loved about that church was after that lesson, that valuable lesson, nobody ever worried about the money again. And we watched God add to that church. And nobody focused on how much, you know, they just said, "Lord, we know you'll meet every need." And God did. And in my life, I don't want money to be a focus. I want my focus to always be Jesus, because He takes care of every need. And if I know of somebody who has a need, then I won't give them money, but I'll help them take care of that need. So this is what I'm saying. As God's church, we shouldn't have our attention focused on the things that I mentioned this morning. We have a mission, and it's never changed. And that mission was to be commissioned, and we were commissioned to be disciples. We've got a call to witness. And that's what our job as a church is, to witness. And nothing else. I tell you what, and I'm just going to say this, Thursday night, we was over at Effie's house. And I've visited with a lot of others I've called. And, you know, I've had the time of my life going and visiting. Harold and I went visit one day, and we fed the catfish, and we just talked. We just talked from the heart. And I love that guy. He's my buddy. Well, y'all, I got a lot of buddies. But we had a good time Thursday night. And this one thing, when I left there, was my heart grew 100 times over, because we just went and we shared, we laughed, we loved, we prayed, and boy, was my heart ever overflowing. And that's what it's all about. It's about telling others about Jesus. So that's what we need to focus on today as God's church.